Happy greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off once again with the Road to Russia 2018 and the next round of qualifying matches for football's premier event. South America is in the spotlight on this Thursday with five qualifiers scheduled on the continent. Colombia is at home to Chile, which in June successfully defended its Copa America title here in the United States. This was the 100th anniversary of the tournament, and it was called Copa America Centenario, and it marked the first time it was staged outside of South America. In the other South American World Cup qualifiers Thursday, Venezuela will host Bolivia, Uruguay will go against visiting Ecuador, Paraguay will host Peru, and in the marquee matchup of the day, five-time World Cup champion Brazil will host two-time World Cup champion Argentina. According to FIFA, World Football's governing body, the match in Belo Horizonte will be the 102nd encounter between Brazil and Argentina, and the Brazilians lead with 39 victories to 37, and there have been 26 draws. And in another indicator of how evenly matched these teams have been over the years, they're tied with 159 goals apiece. I'm sure Argentina will be hoping for a goal or two from superstar Lionel Messi in seven matches against Argentina's great rivals. Lionel Messi has scored four goals, but he's also lost four times. After 10 rounds of matches, South America's World Cup qualifying competition is proving very competitive. Only 6 points separate top-of-the-table Brazil from seventh-place Paraguay. Argentina has 16 points, 5 points behind Brazil, and Lionel Messi and his teammates will be looking for a good result before they host Colombia in another World Cup qualifier on Tuesday, November 15th. The top four teams in South America qualifying will book tickets to Russia 2018, and the fifth-place team will advance to a playoff with a chance to get to Russia. In more football news, Forbes magazine says Portugal and Real Madrid star Cristiano Ronaldo is currently the highest paid athlete in the world with a salary of $56 million a year plus $32 million in endorsements each year. Well, it looks like Ronaldo might be on top of that Forbes list for a while. After signing a massive new contract with Nike this week that will pay him an estimated $24 million a year for the rest of his life. The Portuguese daily newspaper Diario de Noticias says in total, Cristiano Ronaldo could make upward of $1 billion from Nike, the athletic wear giant. In a new Nike video, the very wealthy Cristiano Ronaldo talked about his lifetime contract.
I look this new contract for a life. I'm a member of the family, but I have to say the Nike, it's the best. For me, in my opinion, point of view, it's the best. They do things that no one can do it. I have a great relationship with this brand. I have great friends here in the company. They have, you know, specific people who work with me. So this means a lot for me because I can give my feedback to them, they can listen my opinion. So we work as a family too. They have very imaginative and they do it unbelievable things, and they do it sometimes as surprises, and I like surprises. So this is my brand. You know, Nike, they are smart and they know to pick the best ones. So I'm happy because I'm one of them. Means the best contract that I have in my whole career. Many people tell me, I cannot see you with another brand. You are Nike man.
Nike man, Cristiano Ronaldo's new lifetime contract follows a 5-year extension he signed with Real Madrid on Monday. According to Britain's The Daily Mail newspaper, that deal will reportedly pay him about $450,000 a week until June of 2021. But getting back to that Nike deal, the only other athlete who reportedly has a lifetime contract with Nike is Cleveland Cavaliers basketball star LeBron James.
Show me the money.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Boxing news now on the Voice of America, and it's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mueta. Good evening, Namdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Senator Manny Pacquiao wins.
It's a historical fight because this is my first fight being a senator. I mean, I tell you this, don't do this. You know, being a senator and a fighter is not easy if you don't have discipline yourself.
He beats Jesse Vargas by unanimous decision. None other than Floyd Mayweather ringside. We'll talk about a Pac-Man Mayweather rematch, but first, Namdi, your thoughts on Senator Pacquiao. How did he look in Vegas?
Sonny, he looked very, very good. Mind you, he will be 38 in December. Jesse Vargas is 10 years younger than Manny Pacquiao. The Manny Pacquiao we saw Saturday night, like the old Manny Pacquiao, he had Jesse Vargas on the floor in the second round. Remember, this is his second comeback fight after the operation for the shoulder. And in the first one, he had Timothy Bradley on the floor twice. You know, so what we're seeing now, a young Manny Pacquiao, who'll be 38 in December, he still got his mojo on.
Were you surprised to see Mayweather ringside?
Not really, because Mayweather is not only a boxer, but a shrewd businessman. How did he end up on ringside? Because you rarely see him come out to a fight unless the fight, he's the one promoting him in his Mayweather promotion, one of his fighters fighting. So he came out for this one, and guess who gave him tickets to come out? Invitation from Manny Pacquiao to be ringside and watch him fight, which goes to tell you that something is shaking for 2017.
Something shaking, Namdi, and maybe we're going to see that rematch. Let me read you a Facebook message I received from Magnus Chisholm Onwudiwe, the self-described humble apostle of the sunny side of sports. Magnus tunes in the show on a regular basis in Owerri, Imo State, Nigeria. And talking about that rematch, Magnus writes, "Personally, I think there's stale, waning interest in a rematch. The truth and reality is the fact that both Manny and Floyd are getting old. The boxing media should relax their spotlight on them," says Magnus. He says, "The duo have given their best, and age and events are taking a slower toil and shift on them." And Magnus wraps things up by saying, "Manny and Floyd should look towards tutoring and mentoring upcoming strong young fighters." Your reaction, Namdi?
I want to remind my homeboy, you know, where Imo State, that the first fight with Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather made 4.6 million pay-per-view buys. At $100 per pop, which comes down to $600 million, more than half a billion dollars with a B. In Hollywood here, we say crazy paper, you know. Mind you, nobody has come close in terms of numbers for pay-per-view, that first fight. And the second fight, everybody's saying, "Oh, we don't want to see this fight. We got ripped off." Remember, some people even went to court, if you remember, to challenge the promoter for the being ripped off. The same people will come back and go for the rematch because Manny Pacquiao has been looking good, and his last two fights, he looked really, really good. So, mind you, everybody wants to see Floyd Mayweather get knocked out. So this is another chance for you to see, to wonder, well, maybe when he gets in with Manny looking good now, he'll get knocked out. And you pay that money to go for it, and then bam.
Bob Arum, Manny's longtime promoter, he seems to think the percentages are in favor of a rematch. Talk about that, Namdi.
Well, you get to look at the players involved now. For a mega fight, a blockbuster fight, all the players must be around the table. And this is the first time the players can talk to each other. I'm talking about Floyd Mayweather's promoter, Al Haymon, and Bob Arum. They had a big situation with the law, with the lawsuit and all. They've resolved it. Now they're putting fights together between themselves. So they'll be able to break bread easily. And when you're talking about $600 million, man, you're going to put everything aside and sit down and cut it any way you want. So the second fight will be done easily. And we can look forward to this happening in May 2017 because the players are ready, the fighters are ready. Some fans may not be ready, but come fight time, with all the hype, you will run into the theater or be ringside for the fight.
Namdi, do you have the pay figures for Pacquiao Vargas? How much did the Pac-Man make for that?
Well, Pac-Man was guaranteed $4 million, which is still no chicken change. But he gets a big piece of the pay-per-view, what we call the back end. So when you add the foreign TV rights and you add the pay-per-view numbers, the Pac-Man may walk away with close to $20 million plus for this fight Saturday night, which is still not bad.
So you think 2017 we will see a Mayweather-Pacquiao rematch?
Take that to the bank, and that will break another record. And because the fight fans are ready, they want to see it. If Manny had looked really bad in the last two fights, the interest will not be there. But remember, the first fight really killed the pay-per-view. After the first fight with Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, people stopped buying pay-per-view. And the numbers and the figures just went really, really down. So they have to come back and show the fight world that, yes, we're ready to fight, not two guys running around the ring.
Manny Pacquiao won the WBO welterweight belt by beating Jesse Vargas on November 19th. Another title fight in Las Vegas, Namdi. Andre Ward versus the Russian Sergey the Crusher Kovalev. And at stake in this fight will be the WBA, WBO, and IBF light heavyweight belts. How's this one shaping up?
It's a good fight. There's really not much buzz for this fight. This fight is happening at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. we're not really excited because one guy is a puncher, the other guy is a boxer, and we believe the boxer will win the fight easily. The knockout artist will be running, looking for knockout all night, but at the end of it all, we're going to end up seeing one boring fight. That's why tickets are not selling. That's why the pay-per-view numbers are not going to be high. We are not interested in this fight because these are not two punchers. These are not two knockout artists.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta. And we'll hear more knockout commentary from Namdi during Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. Some sad news out of Gambia. Gambia's sporting community is mourning the death of a popular young wrestler who drowned in the Mediterranean attempting to reach Italy. Ali Mbengu's death follows the recent death of one of Gambia's top female football players in similar circumstances. The 22-year-old Mbengu died when his boat capsized, according to his coach. Gambia's Wrestling Federation has urged young people to think twice before making the perilous water crossing. Wrestling is very popular in Gambia and in neighboring Senegal, where the matches are steeped in traditional rituals and watched by hundreds of spectators. The news of Mbengu's death came less than a week after the announcement that the goalkeeper of the Gambia's national women's football team had also died crossing the Mediterranean. Fatim Jarawa was only 19 years old. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. My latest blog post is titled Cameroonian Center Joel Embiid Emboldens Philadelphia. Embiid is back on the court for the Philadelphia 76ers in his debut NBA season after missing the past two seasons with a broken right foot. On Wednesday night, the 76ers lost in overtime to the host Indiana Pacers, 122-115. I mentioned in the blog post that if Embiid can stay healthy, he should be a strong candidate for the NBA Rookie of the Year award. Well, he did not play last night against the Indiana Pacers. According to reports, Embiid did not travel with the team to Indiana, remaining in Philadelphia for rest. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending on this Thursday?
Well, as the results of the election here in the United States continue to reverberate, we're seeing some more sports connections to the election. Starting with President Obama yesterday, he went out and made a statement about President-elect Trump. And a lot of people noting that he used a lot of sports metaphors in his speech. He said, we're all on the same team at the end of the day as Americans. The election he compared to an intramural scrimmage. He said that at the end of the day, the real important thing is that we're Americans. And he compared the presidency to a relay race. He said he grabbed the baton 8 years ago. You try to run your best leg of the race and move forward. And then you have to ensure that you pass off that baton smoothly. So a lot of people noting, of course, President Obama is a huge sports fan. We've seen time and time again throughout his time in office, whether he's rooting for Chicago White Sox or filling out the NCAA March Madness bracket, which he's done for the past few years on ESPN. So maybe no surprise that he's using the sports metaphor, but trying to use those terms to try to bring the American people together.
Another metaphor your way, Andrew, I guess you can call that a nail biter of a presidential election. Would you describe President-elect Donald Trump as a sports fan?
I think he is. We talked about the day before the election about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump's sports allegiances. Donald Trump, as a previous sports team owner, as owner of the New Jersey Generals football league team, U.S. football league team, I think he is a sports fan. So we'll see how that shakes out when he's in the White House, if he's going to be watching Yankee games or wearing a Yankee hat or what have you. But he will be for sure welcoming those teams that win championships to the White House. So we will see that in the coming years.
There's also been reports that the president-elect might have sort of a White House North at Trump Tower in New York City. Would he follow the New York teams if he's up there on a regular basis?
You know, I think it's going to be difficult for him to try to get to a Yankee game, whereas before he could just go and pop in. Now there's all these security concerns and Secret Service. It's very restrictive to be president of the United States, as previous presidents have noted. So he may pop in every once in a while to catch a game. You know, very rarely. He may be there to throw out the first pitch, but I don't think he'll be a regular visitor to Yankee Stadium or Citi Field where the Mets play.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Manny Pacquiao celebrating his recent victory over Jesse Vargas. As we heard earlier, Pacquiao won the WBO welterweight belt with that victory, and now there's rumblings, especially from Nnamdi Maweda, that he might fight Floyd Mayweather again in 2017. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we have two coaches in the National Basketball Association who have come out in very strong language to denounce Donald Trump being elected president. Stan Van Gundy, the coach of the Detroit Pistons, used very, very strong language, saying he's ashamed of the United States for electing Trump, saying that he's sexist and that should disqualify him from holding the office of president. And then you have Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors, who he's come out and said that he's proud of Van Gundy for his comments. And also he said that he was disappointed by the level of discourse, for the lack of respect and dignity. So not quite as strong terms, but saying he was very disappointed with how this election season has turned out with all the contentiousness. Now, this has fans split. There are a lot of fans who have come out and said these coaches are great for speaking their mind. Thank you for speaking out and saying these things that a good portion of the country is feeling. A lot of other fans, however, saying they need to stay out of politics. They're going to alienate people. They really shouldn't be making such controversial comments that it might impact not just their fan base, but the team's fan base, and could have an impact there. So a lot of back and forth on that, but those are two of the sports figures that are weighing in.
I did see the report on Van Gundy, Andrew, and I think the word he used was somber to describe the reaction of his players as they try to process this presidential election. And it's probably worth noting the National Basketball Association is made up. The majority of players are African-American. So I think there is some tension there. How does the president-elect view racism? Is he racist? I mean, there's a lot of question marks about him.
Oh, absolutely. And one of those players that a lot of people have been talking about today is LeBron James. Of course, we talked about how he was supporting Hillary Clinton, appeared with her to rally. And it just so happens that today is the day that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to the White House to meet with President Obama. As we mentioned, teams that win championships go to the White House to meet with the president. Also happens to be the same day that President-elect Donald Trump is going to the White House to meet President Obama.
Interesting.
And the joke on social media was that maybe LeBron and President-elect Trump will run into each other in the hallway and kind of stare each other down, being on opposite political sides. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think things are so well orchestrated at the White House that they will probably keep them well apart, and I don't think they're going to have any interaction. But it was something funny that people did point out.
I know the president has hosted sports champions from various sports during his two terms in office. I expect the Mr. Trump will do the same.
I expect so as well, and it's going to be very interesting, especially in light of these comments from Stan Van Gundy and Steve Kerr. If either of their teams wins the NBA championship this year, probably more likely for the Golden State Warriors than the Detroit Pistons, but if either of those teams win and they go to the White House for that celebration, it might be an icy reception there after their comments about Mr. Trump. So we'll see how that shakes out this basketball season.
Andrew, anything else trending in the sports world?
Well, sticking in Cleveland, of course, Cleveland Indians got so close, but not close enough to winning the World Series this year. And so prior to the World Series, they produced all this Cleveland Indians World Champions merchandise, so it was ready to go on store shelves if they won. Well, in the past, Major League Baseball has donated this merchandise overseas to developing countries, people in need. This year, however, they've announced they're destroying the merchandise rather than donating it, and their reason, they said, they want to protect the team from inaccurate merchandise being available in the general marketplace, i.e., they don't want people in the U.S. wearing Cleveland Indian championship shirts. They want to see that. They want only Cubs championship shirts. They don't want people to make fun of the Indians losing. So a new policy for Major League Baseball.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And we'll hear you again on Friday. And that wraps up the November 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In October, the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, and the Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa, or COMESA, launched a 5-year Regional Development Objectives Grant Agreement at the 19th COMESA Summit, held this year in Madagascar. The agreement, announced in Nairobi, Kenya, provides for USAID to contribute approximately $77 million to strengthen the collaborative partnership between the two organizations and implement regional trade, investment, and agriculture development programs that contribute to their common goals. U.S. Ambassador to Zambia and Special Representative to COMESA, Eric Schultz, USAID Deputy Mission Director for Kenya and East Africa, Candice Buzzard, and the COMESA Secretary General, Ambassador Sindiso Ngwenya, signed a Memorandum of Understanding to affirm the agreement. Ambassador Schultz pointed to the continued momentum toward achieving common economic development goals by renewing the partnership. Through economic diversification, attracting more foreign investment, and reducing existing trade barriers, we can build upon our successes to date. I am confident that the new agreement will help us bolster growth and unlock economic potential among the COMESA member states. Under this agreement, COMESA and USAID will work together to achieve shared development priorities to promote sustainable regional economic integration, reinforce institutional governance and accountability by supporting the coordination of regional trade, investment, and agricultural policies, and strengthen COMESA's organizational leadership. The new agreement is not the first for USAID and COMESA, a regional economic community under the African Union with 19 member states. They have partnered since 2003 to create sustainable and integrated markets, increase the productivity of staple crops and farm productivity, promote trade and reduce trade barriers in regional markets, and support the free movement of goods and services in the region. Under a previous agreement, USAID provided $115 million to support the organization in delivering its mandate. The United States is proud to work with its partner COMESA to promote the prosperity of Africa and the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.